This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Happy Wednesday. Outkick the Coverage radio program on the air, wherever you are. Appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio anywhere in the country. You can hear us on foxsportsradio.com, or you can download the podcast, Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Get the full archive. Never miss a second of this show and consume it whenever you would like. Clay's out this week. He's back on Monday. I'm Jason Martin. I used to be his executive producer, now a daily radio host in Nashville, Tennessee, and a weekend host here on Fox Sports Radio. The Jason Martin Show, heard nationwide Sunday mornings 3 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm joined by 8-year NFL veteran Jeff Schwartz. He's at Jeff Schwartz on the tweets. I'm at JMartZone. We'll have Dave McGinnis, former head coach in the league. He coached in the league for over three decades. He said this was his 47th training camp being a part of the NFL. He will join us in the third hour of the show. He was with the Rams organization, along with Jeff Fisher, when they did Hard Knocks and All or Nothing. So we'll be able to get a sense of what it is like to be a part of that show, as many of us sat up and watched Hard Knocks with the Oakland Raiders last night. We'll talk about Zeke Elliott. We'll talk about the second half of Bill Barnwell's article as well, the five teams he says are likely to decline. We'll see whether or not we agree or disagree with those. Plus, we have three divisions we need to preview and kind of predict today. Did not get to the NFC North yesterday, so we'll handle that first. Then we'll do the AFC South and the NFC South today. But it's not a rookie move, but I'm disappointed right now. I was trying to set my MacBook to update tomorrow, and it was too sensitive, and I pressed now. And so now I'm looking at about 39 minutes remaining on my update.
Wait, you have the same problem, too? Mine is my desktop is 40 minutes left to update, too.
Yeah,
I didn't agree to this.
No, see, I was trying to set this to happen in the middle of the night, and I guess I touched the key too much, and the mouse clicked, and now I'm staring at the Apple logo in about a half hour, so I don't have some of the information in front of me that I usually do.
I don't
so we're
either.
Off and running on this Wednesday.
We're both. I'm gonna have to go downstairs and get my laptop. We're both in the same predicament. Look, I know Danny was so excited to watch Hard Knocks last night, and I was excited too. I tune in, and I could have just done without it and been fine. I mean, it was a rough episode. The only thing that was worth it was my wife just asking me random questions about football while watching the show. That was probably the best part of it. I was so looking forward to it. Football's back, Jason. It's awesome. We have football stories now. We have Hard Knocks. Like, I feel like Hard Knocks signifies that football is back now.
Yeah, it does. I agree with what you're saying. You should just like hit the record button on your phone, and then we can just hear what your wife's asking during the show.
It's just stuff that's like not important, and just like I'm like, dude, I really have to watch this with you. Like,
all I know is I'm sitting there watching Jonathan Abram and these dudes riding a horse, and there's just a lot of things happening on this episode. It did not start particularly strong, but this is exactly what I predicted. I predicted on the Jason Martin Show. I predicted it to Clay when I was with him a few weeks ago as well. Hard Knocks is going to be Hard Knocks. It's not a gotcha show. Dave McGinnis will say that exact thing when he's on with us in the third hour. He will tell us that, you know, it was a positive experience. And the general point is, it's NFL films. This is not CNN. They're not out to gotcha their own league. It's a propaganda piece. It's a publicity piece for the NFL. So, all of this circus atmosphere that you're expecting to see around the Raiders, one, whatever they don't want to show you, they don't have to show you. I mean, not the NFL, meaning the Raiders. They have Final Cut. And two, they're aware that stuff is happening. Like, it's the best part of the whole show was probably the most scripted, contrived part, which was Gruden's speech at the very beginning.
Which
we had heard about a week ago. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then the Antonio Brown kids thing, which was fantastic. But that was already on Twitter 2 days ago. Look, you could tell that John Gruden and knew the cameras were there as far as his comments that he made. I mean, like, I'm not talking about, like, performance. Like, he knew that...
Well, he wasn't saying a lot of stuff.
He knew that people were, like, going to scrutinize him. I just love the old coaches. And Drew Gruden is really an old coach. He coached back in the, quote-unquote, older days in the pre-CBA. They just have so much disdain for the way this practice schedule is now. And they had so much disdain for the players, just kind of their mentality, I think, at times. And they just hate it. Like, they hate it. They openly complain about it. Now, obviously, they follow the rules, but, you know, Gruden made the comment of joking about, you know, basically the NFLPA guy who's going to come around checking practice times, making sure they're practicing right, making sure they're wearing pads. He made the comment, are we allowed to hit today? He's obviously frustrated by Antonio Brown not being able to practice. You know, practice for, I believe, just one single day. And then he's just upset about guys obviously not giving effort. Felt like that kid from Hard Knocks, not Hard Knocks.
Last Chance U.
Kind of wanted to be cut. It just felt like he really wanted to. And Derek Carr, man, Danny, your starting quarterback, dude, for your team is...
He's a weird dude, man.
He's a goober, dude. Like, he is...
Goober isn't a word. That's horrible.
He's not going to come off well after these episodes, I'm just telling you.
I think you're a goober for using the word goober.
Like, the first day he's shown up wearing taping up his jersey to show his guns for the first 2 days of practice. Like, come on, dude. You're the quarterback, man. No one cares. And and then also, of course, he blocks everyone on Twitter, too. That's a separate
I think
story,
that's what's really bothering you. Yeah.
He blocked everyone. Go on Twitter. Everyone has been blocked. He blocked... His brother works at NFL Network. He blocked people at NFL Network, and they had to, like, apologize to Derek Carr to get him to unblock him.
Why does he block people? Does soft. He have any kind of... Okay, just soft.
I mean, I don't know why else. Why would you... I, up until he blocked me, had never tweeted anything negative about him. I searched Jeff Schwartz, Derek Carr, to see if I had tweeted anything. I never had used his actual name in a tweet. Like, I never used his tag. I never had said anything that was more than, you know, him and Mariota had been hurt at the same time. I used Mariota and Carr kind of in comparison with their injuries because they got injured on the same day all the way back in 2016, and their careers have never really had that season yet, right? 2016, they both played really well. It was their second or third year, right, Danny, for both of them? Mario's a year younger, I should say. But nonetheless, they got injured on the same
day. Christmas Eve.
And they just their careers have never quite been
that
2016 haven't. Season for both of them. And I've used them, and that's the only time I've ever talked really about Derek Carr besides obviously rooting for the Chiefs. But even then, I was not publicly shaming him or bashing him or calling him names. And then he went ahead and blocked me for no apparent reason. So... I've been told the reason. I don't think it's true, so I'm not going to say it. So now I just go at him because it's fun.
So you got to explain to me, Jeff, because it's a descriptor that's not used very often. I heard John Oliver say it at some point this season on his show on HBO, but goober means what to you when you use that?
It's just like, I don't know, just like a... I went and looked up what a goober was last night because I tweeted out and the definition.
Chocolate covered
peanut. The definition of it doesn't really match what in my mind. Somewhere I don't know what I can I say. I don't know what I can say in the air, what words I can use.
Just don't use curse words, Jeff.
No,
this
but
is
what
not
about
that difficult?
What about the starts with a D? That word? Can I say that word on here or not?
All right, I don't know. What
D bag.
Yeah, can I say that?
You can say that. Yeah,
okay, D-bag, but I can't use the full word. Okay.
Right.
I just think it's like, it's not really, like, it's not, he's not a D-bag, right? Because, like, he feels like a nice guy. I'm not saying, right? So he's not a kind of a D-bag, but he's also, like, it's somewhere between, like, not quite a D-bag, but also kind of, like, corny. It's just, like, in the middle, maybe,
of
those two.
He's kind of a bumpkin. Like, where is he on the J.J. Watt scale?
Oh, I don't know if anyone's going to be on the J.J. Watt scale besides J.J. Watt. No, I think Derek Carr's trying to be genuine, but he comes off as like 70-yard pass to Antonio Brown. There's got to be video of the 70-yard pass. Where's the video?
Yeah, I hated that. I hated Gruden, like, hell of a throw, Derek. Hell of a throw. How about we see that?
Course.
There's like 7,000 cameras out here.
I just heard stories about him, and I don't know. I just feel like a goober. I feel like it's one of those things where like you kind of know it when he is, and I feel like that word was appropriate. And the way you
really?
Reacted this morning felt very appropriate, and it pissed off Danny that I said it, which made it even more appropriate.
Danny,
word did not piss me off, and I agree with you that he came off corny when he had the baby oil on the arms. But
yeah,
it was great that his teammate, the rookie from LSU, the tight end there, was calling him out on the baby oil on the arms.
This is your squad. What did you see?
I enjoyed NFL Films' presentation of it last night because I'm a fan of the team. I'm not going to look at it objective the way a Kansas City Chiefs fan, Jeff, would. I get that. Okay, but I still thought visually it was entertaining, and they were just setting the table. I didn't think anything negative until the show was over, and then I got on Twitter and saw some complaining about, oh my God, I thought it was going to be way more exciting. I thought there were going to be arguments. I thought there was going to be drama. No, they were just setting the table and showing us some of the characters.
There's not going to be that much drama, guys.
There's not, but
no.
But now listen, as a Raiders fan, I watch Colin Cowherd's show every day after we get off the radio, and I do post-production for Clay. Then I go home, and I see like the last hour of Colin's show on Fox, on FS1. For the past 2 weeks, I've had to hear him ranting and raving about how the Raiders don't have coaches. They don't have football guys. They have TV stars. Gruden is more interested in being a TV star. He's going to be chasing the camera. Mayock's going to be chasing the camera. He's more interested in being a TV star. This is going to be good TV, but they're a bad team. What I saw on Twitter was everyone complaining that they saw the opposite of that. So that was interesting to me because Mayock was barely on camera.
I don't think Mayock was going to chase the camera. I think he's good on camera. I thought he was really good on TV. Gruden is the one that...
I saw tons of complaints, even from media guys, saying that Gruden should have got more camera time.
I said the same thing.
He should have. Jeff tweeted out that the whole thing should be an hour of Gruden, and he's absolutely right because there was not all that much else to pay attention to. Like, even Richie Incognito was boring.
Yeah, it's worrisome that he does have kind of those incidents where he's not normal, but I trained with him for an entire summer. This was back in 2009, I want to say, down in Carson, California, and he was totally normal for the entire summer. Like, we train every day. I mean, I know he's had his issues, and they discussed those, and he just had one publicly, obviously, and he got suspended for it. But it's a little worrisome that he does have those concerns at times, but otherwise he's normal. So I wasn't surprised to see that. There was no fighting. Look, I mean, they tried to have Jonathan Abram, the rookie safety. I think he's going to be like their focal point. And I kind of felt bad for the whole salmon thing. Like, I didn't really think that was like, I was going to make a joke about it. I thought to myself, I actually really shouldn't. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. I just think there's just no characters. Like, look, as much as
seemed like Jonathan Abram. No, wait a second. Stop there. I think Jonathan Abram was performing. I got the feeling Jonathan Abram knew he had an opportunity to become a bit of a star here.
The salmon
thing? No, just him in general. The way he's hitting, the way he's hitting without pads.
I think he's playing
to the camera. He's got $500 worth of snacks at the beginning of the deal falling off the cart.
The snacks are normal, dude.
I'm just saying there was a whole lot of him in front of that camera. And there are dudes that go on Hard Knocks and seek out the camera. And first, I think he's a good choice. Like, I mean, I thought he was somewhat interesting, somewhat engaging, probably pretty good for a rookie in terms of being able to maybe transcend just being a guy that falls into the background. But he was featured a lot, and I think that's either because he sought out the cameras or because a whole lot of other people did not.
I think it's the latter. I think that a lot of people did not. I mean, you know, like Vontaze Burfict probably said, but they probably told him there he's off limits for the show. You know, Richie Incognito was obviously featured for a little bit. But, you know, Richie's probably going to be his best behavior on the show. And then, you know, like I said, Carr's going to be obviously featured prominently. Look, here's the thing about Gruden is I think Gruden loves his job. I think he loves football. I know he loves football. There's no thinking about it. He loves football. And he has a very strong opinions about things. He's a good talker, obviously, because he's done the media for a long time. And I like that John Gruden was featured. I wish he was featured more because I feel like if it was just a show about John Gruden, it would be immensely entertaining. because he has obviously very opinionated thoughts. He's a good talker. He knows how to talk to the players. I mean, he, you know, the whole situation where he was talking to Jonathan Abram, and then Jonathan Abram was like pushing back as a rookie on a veteran head coach about how he's allowed to hit in practice. Like, I was kind of surprised by that. So I'm fine, Danny, with it being more Gruden. I think a lot of people would be fine with it. I don't care if he's performing a little bit for the camera, which I don't think he is. I just think he's really entertaining, whether or not he tries to be as a coach of the Raiders. And that's why I tuned in. I didn't tune in to really watch anyone else. I just want to hear how Gruden coaches and what he's thinking, because I thought it was entertaining. When he spoke, it was.
I've always liked Gruden's personality and his love for football. I think what I'm saying is some people wanted to see some big soap opera drama with arguing and people not getting along, tons of discord.
Yeah, it's just not something that happens on this show.
No, instead you're seeing Gruden put together a pretty decent team, and I think that pissed off some Raider haters who wanted to see some kind of dumpster fire.
I think we got spoiled, Jason, last year with that whole Hugh Jackson team meeting thing.
The Baker Mayfield stuff,
I don't know if that was, if the Hugh Jackson team meeting was episode one last year, but I don't know if you guys recall, they had the team meeting, right, where it might have been episode two, where guys were not practicing, and Todd Haley told Hugh, like, dude, they have to practice. Even Freddie Kitchens spoke up and was like, guys, Hugh, we need these guys to practice. Like, you can't hold them out. And Hugh, you know, made the whole speech about, this is my team. When you're in this big boy chair, you make the decisions. And I tweet this out, I'm still surprised even to this day that they allowed that to be on camera. And I think it was because they wanted to show that Hugh was in charge of the ship and this is his team and whatnot. But that's like one of the juiciest things we've ever gone on Hard Knocks, which was coaches bickering in the meeting room, which is, I imagine, is what happens more often than not about certain things. So we got spoiled last year with Baker, with the Browns, and I don't know if we're going to get spoiled this year with the Raiders. We'll find out. They have a joint practice against the Rams. Sean McVay, obviously, is a very bright guy. I feel like he might be focused a little bit on the next episode. But we'll see. Just wasn't – even the story – Danny, even the storylines, like, I don't know. Just didn't feel like – didn't feel like they were very contrived. Look, the worst thing and the –
Yeah, I mean, it felt like Hard Knocks. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we can keep talking about it a little bit. If you saw Hard Knocks, you have thoughts, we can take your thoughts at 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. It was Hard Knocks. If you like Hard Knocks, then it was still pretty likable. I mean, I still enjoyed it. It was still a decent way to spend an hour. If you're looking for the soap opera, you're looking for the wrong thing. Again, it is a propaganda piece in favor of the NFL. That's what it's designed to be.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jeff Schwartz is available down in Charlotte. He's on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. I'm available here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Danny G, Roberto Flores, Eddie Garcia, boys are here with us all morning out in Los Angeles. And, of course, W. Yarbrough taking your phone calls here and contributing with me, as now we are distracted in the studios, the Geico Outkick studios here in Nashville, because the Ocho has begun on ESPN2, and there's a chess boxing special on right now, and it's not starring the RZA either.
Wait, seriously?
Yes. The Ocho is all day today, which means you're going to see like stone skipping and...
Well, let me fire up the old iPad and see what's going on in the Ocho. Oh, nice. Oh, good. You rarely get to watch stuff in the morning. We did this one time where we had golf on, didn't we? And it was like, oh,
yeah,
wow,
Open Championship.
Yeah.
So we'll have Dave McGinnis next hour. He did Hard Knocks and All or Nothing when he was part of the Rams coaching staff. He'll give us sort of the ins and outs of what it's like to be a part of that show and to have cameras filming your every move. And I think he might surprise you with some of the things that he tells you about the show. We opened up the show talking about how Hard Knocks was very mediocre for the start of the Raiders episode. I think that was mainly the consensus that I saw across social media as I scoured it earlier this morning. But yesterday we went through the AFC North. And we're going through all the divisions this week. So we did not get to the NFC North because sometimes we just don't budget our time well. And by we, I mean me. So let's do the NFC North now, Jeff. It's another interesting division because I think that it possesses one of the real show-me-something-this-season players in the entire NFL. A guy who got paid a ton last year and his team didn't make the playoffs. I know he had a 70% completion percentage, but Kirk Cousins... replace Case Keenum, who took them within an eyelash of being in the Super Bowl in their city when it was in Minneapolis, and they did not make the postseason. When you've got Thielen, and you've got Diggs, and you've got Rudolph, and you should have that Mike Zimmer defense, you need more from Kirk Cousins. And this is why I called him one of the six most overrated sports personalities last year. And it wasn't because I think he's terrible. It's because I thought that there was a whole lot of hype surrounding him in Washington. I'd never seen him under pressure do anything that particularly impressed me. And so I look at this Vikings team and I say, look, Kirk Cousins can be really good, but with the money he's getting paid, questions need to be asked if they don't have a good year this year about him and Zimmer.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of valid questions, I think, about Cousins, especially in primetime. He has not been good in his career in playing primetime games, which is obviously typically the most important games you play because, you know, you are playing against better teams, right? Typically, primetime games are against better teams outside maybe Thursday Night Football. Cousins never really done that. But I will give the Vikings credit. They've tried to address their offensive line. And they have admitted, basically, that they are retooling their offense, but in the right way. They have said, look, we've looked at the numbers. We realize that Cousins is very good at play-action pass. And last year, we did not use play-action pass enough. We need to use it more often. And that's a positive. So I think they're moving in the right direction as far as what they want to do with this offense. I think Mike Zimmer will always have the defense up to speed. So I think the Vikings, and the more you look at the Vikings, I think the more you should get excited about the possibilities of what they can do this year, because if Cousins just plays a little bit better, they have an opportunity, I think, to be a really good team this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the best coach in the division is Nagy. I really like Nagy a lot. I want to see what steps he takes this year. What maybe he learned from his first season. But it feels like he'd be fun to play for. Like, I get a good vibe off of him. This doesn't have, I looked at Chicago and I tried to make the, are they the new Jacksonville argument? Because they have a quarterback that you don't know what he's going to be, but they have a dominant defense. But they don't seem to be built, Jeff, and you tell me if I'm wrong. The Bears do not seem to be built like a team that is me first. They seem to be a little bit more cohesive. It's not a bunch of Jalen Ramseys and Leonard Fournettes on this Bears team.
No. I mean, look, the Bears team will only go as far as Mitch Trubisky, right?
Yes.
It's funny, for SB Nation, I'm providing a one or two sentence rebuttal, essentially, to has him 13-3, and not so fast.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You know, Trubisky, it comes down to Mr. Trubisky. Is how much can he grow from year one in Matt Nagy's system to year two? You know, he's still at times very inaccurate, and he's at times erratic. But then also he does make a lot of plays when you think he's not going to do it. But again, I think you have to be at that position a little bit less erratic. I do think the loss of Vic Fangio, who was the defensive coordinator, is now
head coach of Denver,
is a little bit of a concern. I know the personnel is pretty much the same, but he's a pretty good defensive coach, and the Bears might lose a tiny bit of their edge because of his loss.
So if you look at their schedule, 13-3 seems very, I don't think that's doable, honestly.
No.
I mean, I know it technically is, but if you look at it, it's like they open up at Green Bay. That's not going to be easy. At Denver is not an easy place to play, but that's a team they should probably beat at this stage. Depends on what Flacco looks like, really. At Redskins, should win. Versus Minnesota, that's divisional. That'll be a tough game. Versus the Raiders, probably should win that game. Versus the Saints is going to be tough, but I just look at their tough games. Versus the Saints, versus the Chargers, at the Eagles, at the Rams, versus the Cowboys, versus the Chiefs, and then, of course, their division. If they finish 13-3, they would have to be the best team in football to go through that.
Oh, yeah. No, and again, can they? Yeah. I mean, they can.
Yeah, technically.
Will they? Probably not. So I do think that there is some hope there that, you know, the season's going to be people betting on Mitch Trubisky to win the MVP. Guys,
I don't get it, man. I do not get
it. You're throwing away your money. Don't do that. So, again, I'm not totally sold on Chicago being as good as people want them to be or think they're going to be.
And then there's Detroit and Matt Patricia in his second year. Detroit's Detroit, right? Like, it seems like they might have a running game. Stafford has a ton of talent, but he's another guy that in prime time, he hasn't really even faced all of that much pressure because he hasn't really gone anywhere. They just, I just look at them and I look at the rest of the division. The other big question mark, though, isn't even in Detroit. But what do you have to say about Detroit before we get to Green Bay?
Look, Stafford is really good. I don't like how they're seeming to talk so much about going back to the run game. I mean, you need to let Stafford be your guy. I know Daryl Bevel, I believe, is there now, the old Seattle coach. You gotta let Stafford be that guy, and I'm not sure they're going to do that. So it does worry me that's going to be an issue in Detroit.
So Green Bay has Matt LaFleur, and that's I'm just in the studio. I'm doing sort of the shrug emoji as I'm talking, which doesn't really play that well on radio. So I'm trying to explain it to you. I saw him here in Nashville last year as an OC, the first time he's really ever called plays in his entire life. And I wasn't impressed. I wasn't up close and personal to see everything he was doing, but I didn't see somebody that made adjustments. I didn't see somebody that blew me off the page. I've heard he's a great interview. I've heard he's an incredibly smart guy, that what he draws up can wow you in an interview setting. All that can be fine. Aaron Rodgers and him, that relationship is going to dictate a lot. They address the defense, which has been a problem. It feels like, I don't know about the running game, but it still feels like they have a lot of weapons for Rodgers, and Rodgers is still Rodgers for the next couple of years. But this is a team that last year, I mean, they were not very good at all last year. And so you finally get this change. And so here comes Matt LaFleur in, and for some reason they rushed to hire him as fast as they possibly could. He was the first hire during this coaching cycle. And I just look at it and I say, this is the Sean McVay move. But Matt LaFleur is going to have to prove something to me, because what I saw last year here in town when he was the OC for the Titans did not make me think that he was on the cusp of being a head coach in this league.
Well, I think a lot of times we really don't know guys will be on the cusp of being coaches till they become, and then we figure it out. Yeah, I don't know what to expect from Matt LaFleur. I have no idea. I think Aaron Rodgers will be invigorated by the new offense, but again, if they don't produce early on, you know, Rodgers and LaFleur might not have a great relationship. I don't know. They're very talented on defense now. They've kind of adjusted their team to focus more on defense. And I think Rodgers will be reinvigorated. I think he'll have a good season. You got to get him out of that whole second, third stage throws. Like, he's got to just be in rhythm in the offense and show what he can do. And they have good tackles. Their offensive line is good. They have young players on the edges. I get that. But I think the Packers are going to be better than we think.
I mean, probably so. I mean, they were a 6-win team last year. I think it's very possible that they're a 9-7 or a 10-6 kind of team. And if they are, then that's probably good if you're Matt LaFleur. If you let Aaron Rodgers just be Aaron Rodgers and he stays healthy, which can also be a concern when it comes to him, then I think you're in pretty good shape. But as it relates to this division as a whole, how do you see this going? It seems to me, I don't think that the Bears are in for some precipitous decline. I think Green Bay is going to get better. I think Minnesota better get better. I think Detroit's still going to be the bottom of the division. It's a little closer for me. Like yesterday when we were doing the AFC North, I felt pretty good about 1-4. This one I don't feel nearly as good about, because I feel like the differences between Chicago, Minnesota, and Green Bay, if everyone plays up to their potential, is a lot smaller in terms of a margin of error.
Right. This is a tough division, I think, to predict. I think the Lions will be last, probably.
Yes.
I think I can make a good case the Bears are third in the division.
Okay.
And I think that the Packers are probably 2 and the Vikings are 1, I think. I mean, the Vikings defense is just so good still. But Cousins, I would actually probably feel better if I put the Packers 1, Vikings 2, Bears 3, Lions 4.
Well, and what you did, with the exception of Stafford, is you picked a quarterback.
Yeah.
You picked Aaron Rodgers, and then you picked Cousins, and then you pick Trubisky, and then you pick Stafford. So it kind of throws it out when you get to Detroit, but Detroit kind of throws it out anyway. I tend to agree with you. I want to see Cousins step up and be the guy. I just don't know if we haven't seen it to this point, is that something that's actually in him? I don't know. But you're right about the defense.
Why would it change?
Right, exactly. So that makes it really hard for me to predict them. And I still want to pick the Bears, but when we were talking about the Barnwell article, and we'll talk about the decline before the end of this show, or if we don't get to it, we'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. But the Bears seem like a team that could be a team that could lose a few more games this year, not just because of the schedule, but because they performed so well in close games last year, and I just don't know that Trubisky is going to be the answer. Well, yeah.
The Football Outsiders, who I really do like, if you like analytics, they're easy to digest.
They really are.
In my opinion, I'll pull up their – I think they have the Bears projected like 7.5 wins.
Yeah, that might be a little – I mean, that would be disastrous.
I'm pulling up I'm trying to get to the – I'm getting there right now. Here it is right here. Full projections. Bears, 7.9 wins, so 8 wins.
So they're dropping 4 wins from last year when they were 12-4. Like I said,
their schedule this year
tough.
Is
I
the
could
fifth
see
toughest
it.
Now. Last year, obviously, was much easier. So
it's a function of Trubisky is what it is.
Right. I agree. So the division's better, in my opinion. I think this is very – I just think they're going to take a step back.
I mean, I think you're probably right. Let's go to the L.A. Crew. We didn't talk to them yesterday when we were doing the AFC North, and usually we kind of go around the horn and do sort of a predictive deal. So first, you guys, you can tell us about the AFC North, but how do you view the NFC North? We can start with DG.
Well, I tend to think that the Vikings, and Jeff is right about their defense, but it's time for Kirk Cousins to really step up. So I'm thinking the Vikings are going to be the surprise of that division.
So you actually think that he's going to step up then?
Yeah.
You said it's time. I know it's time for him to step up, but is he going to? If you've got him number one, then you're saying this will be a year where Kirk Cousins takes another step.
It's going to be close between them and the Bears, but over Trubisky, I like Cousins. Vikings fans, I think you're in for a good season.
So you don't like the Packers very much then?
Man.
Is it LaFleur?
It's everything with Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he got so much money that they've been struggling to build a decent squad around him. And for that to just suddenly change overnight, I don't see it happening. But I don't know. It's a tough call with the Packers. I was interested to see what you guys were going to predict when it came to Green Bay.
I just don't know.
Defensively, they're actually really talented, and they're better than they've been in a long time. I think maybe I'm too excited to see Rodgers in a different offense, one that he probably appreciates more. So, I mean, I think that they can be good, or they actually can probably be like 7-9 or 6-10. I think it just depends on how much Rodgers buys in.
Yeah, I don't tend to disagree. Did you agree with us yesterday? We went Steelers, Browns, Ravens, Bengals. Danny,
yeah.
Yesterday, did you agree with those?
That's exactly how I had it, because I have a piece of paper here where I wrote down both the AFC North and the NFC North, and my AFC North actually matched your guys' picks yesterday.
Okay.
Because the Steelers, they're not going to take this nosedive like some people think. It might be close between the Browns and the Steelers, but I still think that the Steelers are the class of the AFC North.
When we come back, we will get thoughts of the rest of the crew. We'll bring in Eddie Garcia, see if he agrees that his Steelers are going to win that division, or if he's not quite as bullish on them as we are. And then we're going to look at both the AFC and NFC South, two really interesting divisions, and we will preview those. 877-99 on Fox, that's 996-6369. If you have thoughts, especially if you're a fan of one of those teams. We'll be right back. This is Outkick the Coverage. J. Martin, Jeff in for Clay on a Wednesday here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Clay's not available this week. He'll be back on Monday ready for the football season and re-energized down in Florida with his family vacationing. Jeff Schwartz played in the NFL for 8 years. He's down in Charlotte. He's at Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jason Martin. I played in the NFL for exactly no minutes, no hours, no days, no years. Not at all. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. We welcome in former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He worked with the Titans, and now he's part of Titans Radio. But he also was the assistant head coach along with Jeff Fisher with the Rams when the Rams did both Hard Knocks and All or Nothing. Hard Knocks last night premiered for the Oakland Raiders. Mediocre response. You will not get a mediocre response from this man, though. One of probably the joys of my career is getting to know this guy over the last few years in Nashville. We welcome in Dave McGinnis. Coach Mack, how are you?
J-Mark, good morning. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I am fantastic. Glad to have you on. There's a lot of things I'm hoping you can clear up for a lot of people about the way training camps work. So I'm excited to have you on.
Well, good. I'm glad to be on with you guys.
So, Coach, tell us about, and this, I talked to you about this last summer, and then I put you on my daily show in Nashville because I found it so interesting. This is Hard Knocks. People were expecting, and I tried to tell them, measure your expectations, because this is not going to be Jerry Springer. This is not going to be Mari Povich. I know there are a lot of volatile personalities with the Raiders organization, but this is the NFL's own publicity arm. It's their production company, NFL Films. This is not a gotcha show, and that's what you told me last year about your experience.
No, absolutely, Jay Mart. And the thing, you know, first of all, I will say this: the people that do Hard Knocks, you know, I met with they wanted to do the Hard Knocks when we were in St. Louis when we first went there, and we met with them and just didn't feel like it was the right time. Spent a lot of time with them, but when you meet, I mean, they're very professional, and as you said it very distinctly, and you're correct that they're not. It's not a gotcha show. You've got complete editorial control over the whole thing. I mean, you really do. I mean, I watched every one of those episodes with Jeff Fisher before they ever came out, and they take hours and hours and hours of film, and so what you see is just a very, very small part, you know, of what they actually do shoot, and so and they're very they're not in the way. They really aren't, because they know how to do it, and they know that you're there to get a football team ready. And you said it very well. They are NFL Films, and so they're not trying to make anybody look bad. It's not about all of that. Now, it's only intrusive if you let it be. And of course, some people's personality, players and coaches, team executives, who's ever involved, when you're on the other side of the camera, some people just can't help but play to the camera, and some people try to use it, and I think when people try to use it to their advantage, then that's when it starts to backfire on them. But if you'll just be yourself, and then you watch it and you say, this is good, this is bad, not that you're trying to put out a Disney movie, because they keep all the language and everything else in there, but they're not out there to try to make you look bad. And if there's something that is really bad, I mean, those robotics that they have them everywhere. The cameras, all you have to do is point at them and tell them to turn them up towards the ceiling, and they'll turn them up towards the ceiling if you don't want them to shoot anything. So don't think that they're just shooting everything and then just going at free will and putting it on air. That's not what happens.
Yeah, since you've had the experience, have other teams or other people that you know, I mean, I've seen your phone, you have like 8,000 contacts, but have people contacted you and tried to get your opinion on whether or not it's a positive or a negative for a particular team or maybe for their organization to take part in it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because, you know, I've got, as I said, this is my 34th year in the National Football League in a row, and so I'm very fortunate to have, you know, I know a lot of people in this league, you know, at all levels. And yes, when we were on it, I mean, they would call while we were doing it, you know, just to ask, say, Coach Mac, what's it like? Or Mac, what's going on with this? And then, but the answer to that is yes, absolutely.
Dave, looking at training camp, and we hear a lot about competition, right, this time of year. Guys are fighting for roster spots. I've always kind of been of the opinion that about 46 of those spots are kind of spoken for before training camp out of the 53. You've been obviously in these situations of choosing players and looking at competition. What's your thought about what actual competition there is in training camp?
Yeah, Jeff, and you're 100% right, because, look, it's not just training camp. When you're trying to, you know, figure out who's going to be on the 53, you know, of your squad, and then make your 10 practice squad guys up. I mean, it's an ongoing evaluation process, you know, from the draft through OTAs to everything that you do. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. And clearly there are things that come up that happen that necessitate you bringing other people in, or maybe moving somebody up, you know, with injuries or a suspension or whatever else comes up. But I mean, you've got a good idea. Now, the thing that does happen sometimes, Jeff, and you've experienced it a lot, you were with a lot of different clubs, so you understand what goes on. Sometimes you can go into it and you'll have somebody, you know, that will perform even better than you thought because of years of development, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there looking, all right, now, Maybe this year we might be better off keeping one guy, but the future of this guy really looks like it's much better. And so, because you very well know this, and I think your listeners are sophisticated enough to know this also. Decisions are made up in the National Football League, you know, for a lot of reasons. But the base reason that you make decisions on personnel is you have to win football games, and you have to win them now. But then a lot of times front offices and organizations look at the long-range picture, especially, you know, with the salary cap and free agency and those types of things. And so some of those decisions are based with long-range views in mind. But to your point, most things are. You've got a pretty good idea of who your people are going to be, except for about those last, you know, 5, 6, 7 slots.
So how tough is it as a head coach to work with the front office when, you know, you need a player, you want a player for a certain role, they might disagree, they might think that they need a different player for the long term. How tough is it to deal with that? And also, kind of on the same vein, you know, there are coaches that are almost like general managers. How tough is it to do both those jobs at the same time?
Well, it's not tough if the organization is all on the same page. If you're in lockstep with your front office and bring ownership into it too, it's not tough at all because you can sit and talk about it. Now, not everybody agrees immediately, Jeff, as you well know. I mean, it's like during game plan week. You start out with, you know, general ideas and you work through things, you talk through things. You know, you look at things from a lot of different angles before you finally put it down and say, look, this is what we're going to do once you start presenting game plans together. It's not tough if the organization with everybody is in the right direction. When it becomes tough is if you've got different agendas and people are on different wavelengths as far as those decisions go. But all the good organizations, it's not, you know, decisions are hard, but it's not hard to make a cumulative decision if everybody's on the same wavelength.
As we get toward the first preseason game for 30 teams this week, we see depth charts released. And I keep reminding people, don't look so much at the depth chart. Look at the reps they get in the actual game, or if you're at practice, look at that. I mean, right, the reps are more important than the actual depth chart that is put out. That's more for just a general idea, but pay attention to the reps in the game, right?
Well, you're 100% right. I mean, that is so true. And really, if you're at practice and paying attention, you know, to practice and what's going on, I mean, you can see it. And we talked about, you know, just earlier in this conversation, those last 6, 7, or 8 spots. If you really want to look at young people to see what the idea is in mind from the, you know, from the coaches and the team, as far as to, you know, start watching who's where in the special teams practices. Watch special teams practice, which a lot of people, you know, don't even pay attention to at all. You know, look at those types of things. But reps are absolutely correct. Now, when you get into a first preseason game, you know, reps are going to be, you know, off balance towards almost all of the young players because you've got to get a look at these guys. As you well know, Jeff, it's a lot different, you know, when you're familiar, you know, going up against somebody from the OTAs all through training camp. You know, you get into a comfort zone as to where if you really want to evaluate, I mean, not – another step of the evaluation is getting them against somebody different, you know, in a pressure situation. Because the more pressure situations you can put young players into to perform, then the better off an idea you get of what it's really going to be like when you have them. So early on, the young guys are going to get it. But for those spots, look at the special teams. Watch who's lining up where, and then you're right. Number of reps count. That depth charts at this time of year, you know, I mean, close your eyes, tell me what you see. Nothing. That's how much they mean.
Dave McGinnis, our guest here on Outkick the Coverage. He's been a part of the league for almost 4 decades, now the color analyst for Titans Radio. Coach, I wanted to ask you one more question about Hard Knocks.
Sure.
2 things. You talked about it's only intrusive if you let it become intrusive. So I would say this. Did you or any of the other coaches that you knew really, really well, did you guys, were you cognizant of the fact that this was happening? Did it change anything that you said? Did it change the way that you said it? I don't know if you saw last night, did you feel like Gruden was being Gruden, or did you feel like he was Gruden knowing the cameras were around? And then on the flip side, did you see guys, players in particular, that were generally quiet and not leaders, all of a sudden start playing to the camera? And what's your reaction when guys start to act not like they would be if cameras were around?
No, first of all, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it last night. You know, I was, you know, I did not watch it last night, so I don't know what Grooves did. I mean, but look, people are going to, some people, and as I said earlier on, some people are going to play the cameras, and you can tell who's playing to the camera. And let me just say this, too. The Hard Knocks people, they don't really want to put on the people that are just playing to the cameras because, you know if it's shtick if you're looking at it. And the people, once it's on television, you know if that is too. And so, yeah, I mean, no, and we would say anything we would want to because, as I said, you have full editorial control. So you really, I mean, and once they're there, I mean, it's a little bit of a novelty when they first start setting the cameras up and they're around. But then, I mean, you're trying to get a football team ready, and players are trying to make the football team. Because I promise you this, if for 3 or 4 weeks, for that just fleeting, 15 minutes of fame, a player wants to just play to the camera and not worrying about trying to make the team, well, guess what? He's going to have a whole lot of time to watch all the reruns and that stuff he wants because he's not going to be around.
Coach, you're the best. I know you're headed to Philadelphia for Titans opening preseason game against the Eagles tomorrow, so be safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Jamar, thank you. Jeff, nice talking to you. Thanks, amen. Guys. I'll see you.
Take care.
That's Dave McGinnis. He is incredible. You want to talk about Dan Orlovsky being a real natural when it comes to media. Yeah. This guy had no business being as good as he was. He was just going to be a temporary replacement on Titans Radio, and I can't imagine anybody letting him go after just hearing how good he is at this gig and how affable and approachable he is and how he wants people to learn football. So that's incredible.
Does he want to coach again? Because we know that,
I don't know.
We know that, like I said, coaches love to coach.
Yeah, I think that if Jeff Fisher were to get another job, maybe he would. I don't know where that would necessarily be. I mean, he and Jeff are so tight that I think that could bring him back.
There's coaching nepotism. I don't want to use that word nepotism. It doesn't. It's not family related, but coaches typically hire the same guys that they like, obviously. They trust.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a familiarity and a trust level.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our thanks to Dave McGinnis for making time for us in the last segment. If you missed that, check out the podcast, Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Consume the show however you want, whenever you want. He talked about being on Hard Knocks and All or Nothing a few years ago when he was the assistant coach with the Rams, along with Jeff Fisher. Last night's show was what it was. We talked about it to open the show. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to that on the podcast as well. So the Ocho is happening today on ESPN2. All day long, built off dodgeball, of course. And they start it with dodgeball every year, and it started last night. But we thought, Dub thought and brought it to my attention that we should look at the schedule and see what the crew might be best at if they were taking part in this. So there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Of this than I thought there was. We could actually do a much longer segment, but there was a spike ball college championship, which is like volleyball with a net on the ground, which I would have liked to have seen, didn't see. There's a big buck world championship, a world lumberjack championship, a world axe throwing championship, the Highland Games, of course, then the 51st National Stone Skipping Competition, so which I'm very sad that I missed. The world record is 88 skips, which is awesome. Best of chess boxing, which just finished, and now there's the pro arm wrestling championship on right now.
I looked up the Moxie Games, which is on next, which is jugglers under attack, and literally, they're fighting. Is there juggling? There's also dodge juggle, which I watched from the Moxie Games as well. There's the U.S. pizza team acrobatics.
Yes. Spinning pizza dough and doing all sorts of stuff. There's a cherry pit spitting championship coming up at 1. Putt-putt, golden tee, school bus figure eight.
Lawnmower racer.
Amazing, yes. Classic Tetris World Championship, European Tram Driver Championship. Marble runs coming up this afternoon, which is Olympic sports replacing athletes with marbles. I don't even know what that is. There's something called the 2019 Stupid Robot Fighting League. There is the Electricians National Championship, the World Sign Spinning Championship, Slippery Stairs, which sounds Japanese, and guess what? It is. There's the World Cornhole Cup, which that actually has made its way onto like weekends. Like cornhole stuff has actually been on ESPN. I've seen it, and these dudes are legit. Like, they don't miss. And then there's the World Cup of Dodgeball tonight. So all of those sports, Jeff, and see, you played pro sports, so it's ridiculous to say this, but which of these sports do you think would be yours if you were trying any of this?
Well,
not jugglers, I would imagine.
No. Cornhole, possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pizza, I'd be very good at eating the pizza. Making the pizza might be a different story. I'm very good at putt-putt. I'd be pretty good at that.
Tetris was my game as a kid. It's what me and my dad used to play a lot, so that would be on there. I figured you'd say that.
Tetris and spelling bees.
Yeah, tennis. There you go.
The Jason Martin childhood story. And no chicken until 37. Yeah, probably
that's
that.
Fake news.
Okay, no chicken until 18. No steak until 37.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, sorry.
No steak till 39, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Danny, what would you be good at?
You better axe somebody, Jason. I could spin a mean axe. I'm also wearing some right now.
By the way, nice humble brag that you've put out on Twitter a couple of times about how you're working out to get bigger. I saw that again last night.
Jeff, you probably did this in your playing days with the shaker, the protein shakes.
Oh, yeah.
They taste like chalk.
Well, I mean, you can get better ones. Maybe don't make your own, first of all, but there you go. I could see you being pretty good at slippery stairs.
Me?
No, Danny.
I said my fat butt going up slippery stairs. Yeah.
It might be fun to watch.
What is slippery stairs?
One of those Japanese game shows, Slippery Stairs.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. It is. That's exactly what it started back in 2016. Dub, what do you think you would be good at, and what would you like to watch Jeff try?
Well, the Slippery Stairs would be amazing. I mean, they basically just lube up a nice set of stairs, and then they say good luck getting
up there.
It's
like Home Alone. We were talking about Home Alone the first hour. It's Harry and Marv right there.
But for me, Golden Tee is something I consider myself an expert at. I don't mean to brag, but in college, one of my buddies' fraternity houses actually had a Golden Tee set up.
Yeah.
And I would go over there to study, and I had every single course record on that.
And that's why you're working
station.
That's why you're working for this podunk operation on Outkick the Coverage.
That's exactly right.
Because you were playing Golden Tee and not studying. I'm glad you have those world records. That's why you are where you are. Yep. That's why we are where we are as well. So the Ocho, that'll be fun today. If we get a chance to watch it, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We'll preview a couple of more divisions, AFC and NFC East. We got Frank Isola. We got David Chow tomorrow as well. Should be a good show. We'll see you then.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.